This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is the Daily Digest with me, Sumitra Selvaraj, along with Sharmila Ganesan and Lim Soo Ann. Salons and soda are on our mind today. So we're going to jump right in with our first story. And it's about a well-known politician in the United States who was the subject of an exclusive newspaper investigative report. Her misdeed? She had a cut in a color at a hair salon. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is a U.S. congresswoman who was the subject of an exclusive news story by the Washington Times. Was the expose about her socialism? No. Was it about her previous employment as shock horror a bartender? No. Although it must be said that all of those aspects of her life have been extensively covered. But in this particular case, the newspaper reported that she had spent nearly $300 on having her hair cut and colored that hussy.
The Washington Times said that the Last Tangle Salon in Washington, D.C. charges $80 for a haircut and $180 for lowlights, according to sources familiar with the salon. Or they could have just looked up the price list for that information if they really wanted to flex their investigative journalistic muscles. The paper also factored in a 20% tip of $52, bringing the total of the entire hair maintenance experience to $312. Okay, seriously, why is this even news?
And it's been covered so extensively by the US media as well.
Well, this is, by the way, the same newspaper that reported the cost of Hillary Clinton's haircut back in 2015, which was coincidentally the year that she announced her candidacy for the Democratic presidential candidate nomination. So perhaps not that big of a coincidence there.
Well, you'll be delighted to know that here on the Daily Digest, we are not going to focus on the cost of a hair salon experience, because that, of course, got nothing to do with the price of fish. But rather, what I wanted to do is look at a local context of casual sexism and how our own parliamentarians are not safe from such attacks as well. So I reached out to Kasturi Pato, who's Member of Parliament for Batukawan, for her thoughts about whether she felt that there was a difference in the way that female politicians are treated or perceived compared to their male counterparts.
Always. First of all, because we are in the public eye more than others, there tends to be a sense of freedom by the public to say what they want about how an elected rep should look like. We have seen also in the past many female elected reps tend to become a subject of scrutiny and a subject of comparison, and which is bad in a sense that because normally it is always on the appearance rather than the work or the principle or the struggle or the journey or the work or what they stand for. That has not changed much. But it's also that the media sensationalizes news like that. And things like that become viral. It becomes distorted along the way. And people then tend to focus on the appearance of an elected rep rather than the work that they do. And women in most times become victim of it. Not all, many of us, I have been a victim of it as well.
Would you mind sharing a personal anecdote about that?
I had attended an event once in a school, and after that, a reporter sent me a message on Facebook Messenger to tell me, pink is really your color, but you will look much nicer if you had lost some weight. Sometimes when sensitive statements are made, in the past I have made some sensitive statements or statements that have been misconstrued as being sensitive. The personal attacks were really bad. The insults ranged from your skin color to how you look, to I've been called transgender, I've been called pondan in parliament by Baling MP. So it is in parliament and outside parliament as well. It's on social media as well. So these sort of stories are, you know, they have moments when they spike and moments when they are not so hot, but it is always there. But it's also the perception. For example, if there is a meeting and most of the gentlemen there are in suits, that is it already sets a tone for the meeting. It sets a tone for how you're perceived and how you are looked at. So that makes women also tend to step up and say, okay, you know, that they also have to be in a suit, etc. You know, so there's always a conflict of one, that you don't need to follow these sort of norms that are set, or you could break it and then just be as you are and face the consequences of what's going to happen later. But in my case, being called pondan in parliament, being told by reporters to lose weight, I think these are some of the stories. It's just, it's incredible. Because I asked the reporter back, I said, did you not hear what I said in that school about how children should not be bullying each other? They should love and they should embrace and respect their friends. And I said, have you ever commented to a male elected rep telling him that, oh, his belly is getting bigger or he's losing hair or he needs to fix his teeth? And he just kept quiet. He said, I'm sorry. I said, it shouldn't have even come out from your mouth. I said, can you please focus on the work that I do rather than what I wear and how I look?
That was Kasturi Patel, who is two-term Member of Parliament for Batukawan, who shared a personal experience of how personal attacks can come not just from the media, but from fellow parliamentarians in the August House itself. Mm.
And I think the key thing about what she said, would you ask a male politician that same question? Mm. Because that a lot of people find it difficult to figure out why this is gender-oriented.
Yes.
And precisely that, flip the question around.
Yeah.
If that's not something you would ask someone who was not a woman, then it's quite likely a sexist statement.
Correct.
The sense of entitlement that some have, you know, to say whatever they want, of a personal nature to people in the public eye, is something that we do talk about a lot here on the Daily Digest. And the reason that we keep having these conversations is because there doesn't seem to be enough weight given to the effects of this kind of casual sexism.
Mm. I agree.
Yeah, and I feel that we're still at the point where the idea of sexist remarks as a crime itself is still a very nascent idea. Yep. You know, as women, you're told to lighten up or to stop taking things so seriously, or even worse, that you're just overreacting when you're faced with comments of a personal derogatory nature, which is directed at you.
So it's also frustrating because the distance between what is a sexist remark and sexual harassment is still perceived as being too large for most people. They think it's not on the same, at all. But, you know, what harm can come from a comment is usually what the weak justification that most people give. Mm. You know, telling a woman that she needs to lose weight or that she looks better in a different shade of lipstick or that she needs to put on more accessories. For most people, they'll say that's not sexual harassment. But the problem is that it is.
But how do you get that point across, right? So how do you cross that divide between comment and what is clearly, here in Malaysia, a crime? We have laws. So coming back to that dangerous expose that the Washington Times made on Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's grooming habits, right? How is zooming in on the way she presents herself as a politician furthering a national conversation about her deliverables to the American rugget?
Well, I was wondering at first whether the point was to, because she speaks for the common man, so, you know,
she's a socialist,
yes, right? And whether the point was to kind of say, well, look how much she spends on her hair, even though, because a lot of stuff like that was done about Bernie Sanders, in the sense they were trying to point out that he may not be as man of the people as he was. Turned out he really quite was, you know. But reading that article, I kind of felt they weren't even clever enough to do that. They really were just attacking her decision to get a nice haircut.
Yeah. And sometimes I'm wondering, right, when women, especially women politicians who get who face this type of criticisms, is it because that reporters have nothing to criticize about what they're doing, the
Good
work
point.
That they're doing, that you're just looking for any way that you can to just direct some sort of criticism at them because that's the only way that you can get at them?
I think part of the problem also is that there, as in many countries, many cultures, there seems to be a kind of mold of what a female politician should look like. Mm-hmm. A female politician must be driven by family values.
Yes.
A female politician must be modest and demure, and she must be reflective of the values of a nation. Mm-hmm. And if you buck that trend, then you are just seen as, well, you know, you can't be a very good politician if you can't toe the line.
And the other unfair thing is that as a woman, and this just doesn't just apply to politicians, really, if you look at female CEOs, you know, women in any field, a man represents himself.
Yes.
But a woman represents womankind, right? So if a man messes up, it's his responsibility. But if a female politician doesn't hold herself up to a certain standard, it's a reflection on all female politicians.
Correct.
Right? And so that's the problem, is that this becomes a lot more complicated, because then you ascribe one particular way of being to an entire group of people. But all women are not the same.
Right.
All women don't dress the same. Not everyone likes wearing makeup. Some like doing their hair. Some like accessorizing. Right. Sure. Some don't.
Yeah.
And you don't get to tell each one of them how to be.
To fit your mold, yes. Your idea.
Whether you're the media, whether you're another parliamentarian, whether you're their voting public, you get to comment on their work.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Like Kasturi said, right? If the deliverables are not being met, by all means, bring the house down. Mm-hmm. And because that is your job, what you wear or how you present yourself has nothing to do with the results that you must achieve as an elected representative.
And if either as a member of the media or an opposition politician or politician from the other side of the divide, all you can come up with to criticize someone is their appearance.
Yes.
Really, you've not done their work, or that person's done such a fine job that you can't find anything else.
And here in Malaysia, I'm going to open up specifically here in Malaysia the conversation to a larger field. We're not just saying that it's men who make these comments against women.
No.
It happens the other way around as well. In fact, there was a recent spat in Parliament, our own Parliament, where one MP called out another MP on his physical characteristics. He retaliated by doing the same. It becomes a tit for a tat. Mm. Neither one has behaved under the laws of the House, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm. And then it just ends up being a very... It's a conversation that's meant to be constructive, that's supposed to be helpful towards the Malaysian rakyat, but ends up just being a spat between parliamentarians.
So we have Savest, who just texted in to say, why is there no one pointing out the exuberant price of the watches that male politicians wear, the tailor-made suits that they wear, as compared to the hairdos of female politicians? So it's okay for a male politician to be obese, he doesn't get judged on the work that he does, but a female politician gets asked to lose weight? What a joke. Eye roll emoji.
Oh, I
plenty
love,
of eye rolls here as well.
No, absolutely. No, and that's it, right? Kasturi mentioned it, we've mentioned it again. I think the thing is to hold all of our elected representatives to exactly the same standard.
Absolutely.
Yeah?
And judge them by what we voted them to do, which is to run the country well.
Yeah. So I think that's about all the time we have for this segment. But you can keep the conversation going out there if you like. Tweet us your thoughts at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Or you can call us at 03-7733-2900. We're more than happy to take your messages and calls. But for now, we're going to take a short break. But we'll be back in a jiffy with our second story. To take you to the break, here is Almost Cut My Hair by Crosby, Stills and Nash Young.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.